A Monday Bible study. Amen. Our God and our Father, we thank you because we have come again, because you invite us to come and come and come again. We're asking, Lord, that in your presence today, as we study your word will have the desired impact in every life, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
God bless you. You can sit down. Tonight we come to what we've been doing every Monday, every year, all these many years. Why do we do that? We study the word because the word makes us wise unto salvation. It's the study of the word, the learning of the word, is the impact of the word in our heart that we think upon, we meditate upon, we look at the word as it applies to us. And we go to the Lord in repentance and we are saved. That's what's important. Except a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, except a person born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We study the word because it's the truth of the Lord. And God has given us the truth so that we can be sanctified. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Every time we come to the study of the word of God, I want to find out, each one wants to find out, how can this word purge, purify, perfect, sanctify me? The truth is the truth of the Spirit, that the Spirit of truth reveals unto us. And if we're going to have power, unction, anointing, and the ability to do everything he has called us to do, we need to have the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, that works in us. He shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world of the earth. And the gift is unto you and to your children, to many that are called, even as many as are called. So we come to study the word, not because, you know, that the program of our church and we just do it. No, we do it for a purpose. And it's the word that builds our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the faith to be healed, and the faith to stay healed. The faith to be strong and to stay strong. The faith to be stronger and stronger, it's in the word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. That's why we come, and that's why you're here tonight. And I pray all that the word needs to do in your life, it will do it in Jesus' name. In our study, we go from book to book and from chapter to chapter. We don't avoid, no, I can't talk on that, I don't understand that chapter. We don't do that here. We go from chapter to chapter. Why? Because these things are reaching for our learning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. They're reaching for learning. They're reaching for study. They're reaching for our own instruction. And it says, they're reaching for us, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And at this time now, we've studied many books of the Bible. Now we're studying Exodus. And we've gone from chapter 1 to chapter 8. Now we come to chapter 9. Open your Bible to Exodus chapter 9. I'm reading from verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. Tonight, the topic is God's dealings with impenitent princes and people. God's dealings with unrepentant, impenitent princes and people. I want you to picture the situation with Moses. God called Moses and he gave him this assignment that begins with, go to the emperor, go to the prince, go to the despot, and go to the tyrant, holding down the people of God in a terrible, fiery, oppressive furnace of affliction and bondage, and go tell him, let my people go. And I want you to picture Moses as he went with Aaron. He got there, he said, the Lord God of the Hebrews sent me to you to tell you, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, what sign do you have? And he threw down the rod, became a serpent. The magicians did the same. And so Pharaoh hardened his heart. And the Lord said, Moses, go back again. This man is terrible. This man is a kind of a tyrant. He doesn't listen to any word. Go back to him again and tell him, if you do not let my people go, all the waters of Egypt, River Nile, and all your rivers will turn to blood. And so Moses went again. He stretched the rod as God commanded him. The river, the waters, the pool, everything became blood that he couldn't. It remained for 7 days. I want you to picture now, not only Pharaoh, the people of Egypt. How did they see Pharaoh? How did they see Moses now? The troubleshooter, the troublemaker, the one that makes life uncomfortable for everyone. And everywhere they saw him, they said, that's the man, difficult, bad man. We couldn't drink our water all these days. And now Pharaoh did not yield. And the problem is not with the people really. The problem is with Pharaoh. Let my people go. And he refused. And God said, go back again. Go to that man. And when he went to him, he stretched the rod. Frogs came everywhere. On the river, the shore of the river, and the frogs came to the land, and the frogs got everywhere in their bedchamber. The frogs were there. Everybody felt the plague that came as a result of Moses being there. And the only thing they were talking about Moses, they were talking about Pharaoh. Why is it that, you know, Pharaoh is not letting the people go, and the supporters of Pharaoh were saying, okay, if you release all these thousands and these millions of slaves that are building this and building that for us, are you going to replace them? Can you do, okay, we understand why Pharaoh will not let the people go. But other people were saying, okay, they are building all these pyramids for us, but the land has been destroyed. Then Pharaoh came again. How do you think they looked at Pharaoh? Because Pharaoh said, Moses came again. And God said, tell him, if you do not allow my people to go, I'll bring little insects called lies upon the people. And so they took the dust and threw it to the air. It became lies upon the people. Moses was looked at like it's a nuisance upon in the lives of the people, but not Moses, in the refusal of Pharaoh. And God said, tell him, if that does not change you, I'll bring swarms of flies upon the whole land. Flies there, flies there, flies upon their food, flies upon their bed, flies everywhere. And the Egyptians were neat, clean people. If there was anything they hated, it was flies coming in. Even when they were feeding on food, flies on their person, flies. Everybody had a negative idea about this Moses. And now in the court, every time he was coming, they saw him. The man has come again. The man of judgment. The man that brings all these things upon us. And who knows what gimmicks they were now practicing so that they were just to signal to Moses, we don't like you. How do you come? And you're destroying almost the land. And all the gods, they believed him. The plagues came and brought all those gods down. They worshipped River Nile. God turned River Nile, they worshipped blood, and they couldn't drink, and they couldn't fertilize their ground. They worshipped even all these small, small insects because they didn't know the God, the true God. And all the gods they worshipped, the Lord brought them down by his plagues. Now, the Lord called again and said, Moses. And Moses might have been afraid. No, he wasn't afraid, because this is a contest between God, God Almighty, the God of heaven, and the gods of the land. And Moses was the messenger, the minister that God was sending to bring down all those gods, all those idols of the heathen. And now that's why we're looking at God's dealings with impenitent princes and people. Whatever the message of three parts. Look at number one. Number one, plagues and punishment for the impenitent in former times. In former times, the time of Pharaoh. In former times, the time of Nebuchadnezzar. In former times, the times of Herod. In former times, even the time of Israel, the princes and the people. Plagues and punishment form the impenitent in former times. Look at number two. Number two is the protection from the perdition of the incorrigible in faithless times. The people who didn't have faith in God, they were looking at, you know, this happened, they brought frog, and that happened, they brought lies. They didn't know what was still coming, and they didn't know it was to their profit if they obeyed God at that time so that more plagues will not come. But in the plagues that were coming, the Lord protected his own. Protection from the perdition of the incorrigible in faithless times. There are faithless times where people don't believe God. Faithless times, faithless period where people will not give in to thus says the Lord. Faithless times. But whatever happens, the people who believe their God, the Lord will protect them. We're looking at number three. Number three is pretense of penitence. Penitence is, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have resisted God. And Pharaoh had to show some kind of penitence, but it was pretense. It was not real. He didn't come to repent with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind, and totally, absolutely forsake every evil he pretended. Number three, pretense of penitence by the insincere till future times. It happened at that time, we'll see it in the Bible. It happens at a later time, we'll see it in the Word of God. And it happens until today, in the last days, the future times. That is pretense of penitence by the insincere. Let's come back to number one. Number one, we're looking at plagues and punishment for the impenitent in former times. So we're coming to Exodus chapter 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh. Don't dodge, don't shirk your responsibility. Don't look at the way all those courtiers of the court are looking upon you and looking at you. Don't care, don't worry about the reaction of all the people in the palace. Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. The same message from the same God that changes not. And until Pharaoh, prince, people, you obey that, you're going forward. That same message will come until God is honored, God is reverenced, God is obeyed. Let my people go that they may serve me. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, for if thou refuse to let them go and wilt hold them still to the present time. In verse 3, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous, painful, heavy, destructive morale. That was the next thing now that was coming, because God will not be resisted. No, he has the truth. He said the truth to us, and the truth is to help us get saved, get sanctified, get filled with the Holy Ghost. The truth is to prevent the judgment of God Father coming and coming upon us. And God, we cannot change his nature. God is holy, and he demands that we accept his nature, respect his nature, honor his nature. And if we say no, you are holy, we are going to remain disobedient. It comes and it comes and it comes again. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, it tells us, and the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle each towards the heaven in the sight, in the presence of Pharaoh. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, and it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with flames upon men and upon beast throughout of the land of Egypt. That happened again. Why would a leader in the world, Pharaoh, see all his people going through all these plagues, and he still remained heady, stubborn, disobedient and rebellious against God? He, Pharaoh, did not love his people. He only loved power, loved position, loved authority. Your land is being destroyed, and the only thing is surrender to God. He is creator, he is almighty, but because he held power, he held authority, not loving his people, he allowed all these judgments to be coming, and he says, I am who I am. I'll do what I'll do. I will not let the people go. We're looking at verse 13. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, and the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early. Our ministry is not only just for the evening. Rise up early. Whatever we have to do, whenever we have to do it, God is in command. And he said, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. What protection, preservation Moses had, he sent him to Pharaoh. Yes, we know Pharaoh had power, and Pharaoh could have commanded any of his servants, get rid of this man, I don't want him near me. But Pharaoh couldn't do that. Even Satan cannot go beyond the limit that God has set. And if we are servants of God and he sets us somewhere, yes, Pharaoh may frown, Pharaoh may be angry, Pharaoh may put on attitude, but Pharaoh cannot go beyond the limit God has set. So, as a servant of God, don't be afraid. They might say, you know, what you do and what you preach and what you say is not comfortable. Of course, the message of the cross is not comfortable for the flesh. And the message of transformation is not comfortable for the world. The message of repentance is not comfortable for the impenitent. Yet, whatever the reaction, the unbelievers, the persecutors are limited. They cannot go beyond where God has said. The Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thy heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. He said he didn't know, he must know. And we're told in verse 21, look at verse 21. In verse 21, and he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field, because the Lord had said between verse 13 and verse 18 that heavy, heavy things, like as heavy as a bag of cement, will be falling from the sky. And those who are on the field, it will crush them. It will maim them. It will destroy them. And the peoples, those who counted it like a joke, no, how can that happen? Something as heavy. Look at how heaven is free. Something as heavy as bag of cement falling down. No, they didn't regard God, but it happened. Look at verse 22. In verse 22, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, toward the sky, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt. All the land of Egypt, every town was affected. Every village was affected, upon man, upon the land, upon beasts, and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Plagues of punishment coming upon them in former times. Did that stop with history, with Egypt, the Old Testament? Has God changed? Is God now a sugar daddy? Only smiles, smiles. No problem. Anybody does not want to let go the slaves, and he wants to keep everyone around as a slave. And God says, how can you do that? You have freedom. I give you freedom. Let my people go. I gave you assignment. Nobody is disturbing you, and you are free. How is it you want to disturb other people? You know, taking care of the assignment I've given them, let my people go. And you say, no, I'm not going to allow them to do what God wants them to do. As God changed, you see now an indulgent father, an indulgent God. Look at Romans chapter 2. And I'm reading here from verse 5. Romans chapter 2, we're reading from verse 5, New Testament. But after thine hardness and impenitent heart. You see that word there? Impenitent. As Pharaoh was impenitent. There are many people today who they say they believe in God, but they're impenitent. They're repentant. No change, no transformation in their lives. But, New Testament, after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment, indignation, punishment, plague from God. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And we come to Proverbs chapter 16. I'm reading from verse 18. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction. How do you interpret the action of Pharaoh? Pride that made him to say, no, what I will do, I will do. No God can direct, control, compel me. It's pride. What do you think of a man, of a woman that hears the word of God over and over, and he will not repent, and he will do worse even after the preaching of the word than he did before? What's that? Pride. But pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit. Pompous, heady, pompous spirit, haughty spirit before a fall. We're told in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, reading from verse 11. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Because Pharaoh was not killed immediately. God had power to do that. But killing him immediately will not fulfill his goal, his purpose. God wanted to bring down their confidence, their trust, their faith in all the idols of Egypt. And if he had killed him, you know, everything will stop. And they'll keep on worshiping their idols, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You know, God keeps me strong, and so if anything is corrected in my life and I'm not ready for it, the point is I'm healthy, I'm strong, because sentence against an evil work is not executed immediately. The heart of the man, the heart of the woman, the heart of the teenager, the heart of the young man, young woman is set, hardened in them to do evil. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times, you know, sinners could really stick out their neck and said, God has not seen anything yet. I've only disobeyed and rebelled 20 times. And he says, I'm moving on. He thinks he can defeat God. And he says, the word of God says, though a sinner may do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, but it shall not be well with the wicked. Pharaoh was a person with a wicked heart. Anybody that has disobedient heart, that's a wicked heart. And the people of today that know the word of God and they will not obey, they have wicked hearts, rebellious hearts, stubborn hearts. And it says, it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. He feareth not before God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 5. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. It's not talking about the children of Israel. Of course, with those Egyptians that rebelled and disobeyed and will not let the people go, God was not pleased with them. But the children of Israel, they were redeemed, they were saved, they were brought out of the land of Egypt. And they too, they think, we are special now. God said, we are his people. Let my people go. God said, we are his son. If you don't allow my son to go, I'll destroy your own son, the firstborn in Israel and now in Egypt. And now, since God says we're his son, he didn't continue in obedience to the word of God. The heart, unfortunately, the heart of Pharaoh, the heart of the Egyptians, the heart of disobedience, the heart of the rebellious. And it says, with many of them in the wilderness, God was not well pleased, but they were overthrown in the wilderness. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, it says, Now, at this time, these things were for our examples. The Lord is revealing all these to us so that we'll know. This is for our examples, to the intent, for the purpose, we should not lust after evil things, as they lusted. The Lord wants us to learn. The learning, the study of the Word of God is to lead us to repentance. The learning, the study of the Word of God is to lead us to salvation. Make us wise unto salvation. The learning, the study of the Word of God is to bring the truth in our hearts that makes us sanctified. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The study of the Word of God is to make the truth of Scripture to be used by the Spirit of truth and touch our soul, touch our spirit, immerse us in the truthfulness of the Word of God. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, it says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are reaching for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Let's come to point number two here. Number two, protection from the perdition of the incorrigible in faithless times. God knows how to preserve his own people, because we live in the same world as they do. And they say, if heaven is going to fall, it will fall on everyone. God knows how to make the punishments, the plague, fall from the sky, from heaven. Yet he knows how to protect and preserve his people. He knows how to preserve those who are saved. He knows how to preserve those who are obedient. He knows how to preserve those who are following in the way of the Lord. Look at Exodus chapter 9. I'm reading from verse 4. Exodus chapter 9, verse 4. And the Lord shall separate, sever. That's what the word means. He will sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is of the children of Israel. Protection. That while the devastation, the destruction, and the destabilization was happening in Egypt because of their sin, because of their stubbornness, and because of their stony heart, and because they were haughty and heady, the children of Israel that God was fighting for, he said he'll protect them, that nothing happening among the children of Egypt will happen to the Israelites. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, and the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And that protection still continues. Look at the end of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3. We're reading from verse 16. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. Not just in church, they feared the Lord. Working in the office, I can't do that, I fear God. They're selling in the market, I can't do that, I fear God. In the village, they're doing some idolatrous festival, I can't do that, I fear God. Some church people, are doing some things against the word of God. I can't do that. I fear God. And the people that feared God, they spoke one to another. And God wrote a book of remembrance concerning them. It was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, and they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And he says, I will spare them that the protection. I will spare them. The judgment that comes upon the heathen will not come upon them. I will spare them. The judgment that comes upon the adamant sinner, the stubborn sinner, will not come upon them because they are submissive, they are surrendered, they are sanctified, because I hold them separate. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, it says, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God in truth and in spirit, and him that serveth him not. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 22, and we read from verse 3. Proverbs chapter 22. We're reading from verse 3. A prudent man, a wise man, an intelligent man, a spiritual man, a sage man, a prudent man foreseeth the evil already announced, that judgment will come, the plague will come, and there will be heavy, heavy materials falling from the sky. A prudent man foreseeth that evil and hideth himself. But the simpleton, the simple, foolish, the simple, the one who is simplistic, who does not think of the word of God, pass on and they are punished. The simple, the one that doesn't think of the word of God, yes, they hear, but they don't think, the simple. They hear, but they don't repent, the simple. The simple, the sinful, they're the same. Look at verse 23. In verse 23, for the Lord will plead their cause. The people who obey him, the Lord will protect them. He'll plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. That's what happened to Pharaoh. That's what happened to the Egyptians. We're looking at Jonah chapter 3, reading from verse 5. The protection he has for the people, even though they live in the midst of promiscuous people, perverted people, polluted people, but the difference, because they love God, they honor the word of God, and because they're obedient to the word of God, God has special protection for his peculiar obedient people. Jonah chapter 3 verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and Jonah did not come to talk to them about sugar daddy God, always smiling, always beaming with smile, but the people are dishonoring him, smiling. No, he didn't come to talk to them on, you've been so bad and so evil. But you know, God is love. No. He came to talk to them about the God of judgment, the God who visits sin with judgment. And he said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The people didn't hate Jonah because of that. Jonah is not the problem. The people, their sin, that is the problem. How can a prophet come? You're a prophet of God, a preacher of the word. You didn't even smile. No, the situation in Nineveh did not require smiling. The situation in Nineveh did not require patting people, patting them at the back, but it required the speaking of the word that God had sent. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people who heard that, they believed God and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth. From the greatest of men, even to the least of them. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, for the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him. I thought, you know, it was say, he laid his hand on Jonah. No, no. The people who hear the word of God, and they hear that God is a God of judgment, a God of justice, a God who punishes sin. It's not the person that says, see, that has the problem. God sent him Jonah to go tell the people. And Jonah is not your problem. Your preacher is not your problem. Your sin is your problem. And they knew. And so it says, he rose from the throne and he laid his robe from him and he covered him with sackcloth and ashes. He wasn't doing this to pretend. He was doing this to repent. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, and he caused it to be proclaimed about and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king. Now, the king took the message, heard the message, and he took it now, and he put that message in the mouth of all the servants, the town criers. Jonah said it, repeat it. Say to everybody that God is a God of judgment. He waits for repentance. He waits for transformation. He waits for a change. If there is change, if there is transformation, then there will be protection for those who repent. But those who are incorrigible will still have the perdition, the punishment of the people who have not repented. And it goes on to say, saying, let neither man, nor beast, herd, nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed, nor drink water. They carried their repentance to a practical, logical end. We've done this, we've done this, we've done that. God is not happy with the sinner. Is not happy with the rebellious, is not happy with the heady, the stubborn, and the haughty. And so they said, there's only one thing, we're going to repent. There's only one thing, we're going to call upon the Lord, and we'll forsake all, even legitimate pleasure of eating, drinking. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Show your sorrow unto you. Show that sin is bringing judgment. And we're so sorry. Put on sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Unto God. And they forsook their idols. They don't cry to idols. Idols cannot save. We've seen the futility of serving an idol. Let everyone now mightily cry unto God. Yea, yes. Let them turn everyone from his evil way. That's what God is waiting for. Turn from his evil way. Are you a fornicator? Turn. An adulterer? Turn. An idol worshiper? Turn. A violent, striving, fighting person? Turn. Are you a drinker, drunkard? Turn. That's what he wants. What he expects is that what he created us for, the holiness, the righteousness, the godliness he created us for, that's what he wants. Turn. And then he says, let everyone, not just some people, just don't want, turn. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Are you violent? Turn. You're violent against your wife at home. She says something, and you know it is the truth, but you don't like to hear the truth from your wife. Shut up. Don't tell me that. But the Lord has made her your prophet at that time, because you are not listening to the word of God. And your wife says, my husband, are we going to continue like this? This is exactly what we heard from the word of the Lord. All this time, the Jesus superintendent came from day to day. You were there, I was there. How do we continue like this? They didn't. These people didn't shut up anyone. But they turn from the violence in their hand. Maybe it's your husband that is the prophet, the preacher at home, and saying, my wife, it's a new day, it's a new year, things will not continue like this, because all this, we're knocking our heads against the brazen wall. We'll destroy ourselves. We cannot destroy the iron wall. We cannot destroy the concrete wall by knocking our head against the wall. We'll destroy ourselves. So why don't we change, my wife? Don't be angry. Leave all the violence that is in your hand. And then it says, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. In the protection of those who seriously and who wholeheartedly turned away from their evil, the protection from the perdition of the incorrigible in faithless times. It tells us in Exodus, I'm reading from chapter 9, verse 26, Exodus 9, 26, only in the land of Goshen where the children of Israel were. Only in the land of Goshen where the people who feared the Lord, who reverenced the Lord, who obeyed the Lord, where they were living, only in the land of Goshen were the children of Israel, where the children of Israel were, was there no hill. the protection. Now, Pharaoh, what are you going to do after you've heard all this? We come to point number three. In point number three, Pharaoh, what do you do now? Okay, I know what God says once, and I'm going to tell him, I'm sorry, I have sinned. That appears like repentance. That appears like penitence. But it was all pretense. It wasn't real. There are people that look sober. Some even cry. And they say, oh, we're sorry that happened. But the heart is not changed. The heart is not turned around. It's pretense, impenitence by the insincere till future times. It happened then, it's happening now, it's going to keep on happening. The people who confess, but they don't forsake their sin. Point number three, the pretense of penitence by the insincere in former times, in faithless times, till future times. Exodus chapter 9, I'm reading from verse 27. Exodus chapter 9, verse 27. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned. This time the Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. What a confession. I have sinned. Moses, what else are we looking for? Well, we're not looking for confession from the mouth. We're looking at it coming from the depth of the heart. If it's coming from the heart, there will be transformation. There will be total surrender to the Lord. And it will be a continuous surrender. But this one is just coming from the mouth. Pharaoh said and called for Moses and Aaron. He said, Moses, servant of God, come. Aaron, servant of God, come. Now, he didn't invite them before. They were the people that came on their own. But now he was inviting them. strange situation that Pharaoh himself is inviting us. Let's go, Aaron. And then they got there. And when they got there, said unto them, I have sinned this time. That means this time again. This was not the first time that the plague came, the punishment came, and they were lifted. But he hardened his heart. But this time, he said, what? The leaders were like to hear, or the preachers were like to hear. I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous. What else do you expect a person who has changed, who is transformed, to say? He already said, I don't know the Lord. But now he said, I swallow my word. I know he is righteous, and I and my people were wicked. Look at verse 28. In verse 28, entreat the Lord, intercede for me, entreat the Lord, for it is enough. I've got too much of the punishment, of the plague, of the bombardment. It is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail and I will let you go. I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. Look at verse 29. In verse 29, and Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands and unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's, that you will know. You said you didn't know the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. You will know when he stops that judgment. You will know it came from him, and he alone is the one that can remove it. Look at verse 30. In verse 30, but as for thee and thy servants, I know. Here is Moses talking. I've heard what you said. I have sinned. I and my people are wicked. The Lord is righteous. I hear you. Yet I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. Stubborn, rebellious, heady, even though he confessed, I have sinned, but he wasn't the only one. Look at Numbers chapter 22. I'm reading from verse 34. Numbers chapter 22, verse 34. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. How sincere is that? Pharaoh said it. How sincere was he? And Balaam now says it. How sincere was he? Was he really repenting and going back to his country? Was he really repenting? In reality, was he not still going to curse the children of Israel? As Balak said when he was confronted now with by the angel, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou angels shouldest in the way against me. Now therefore, look at this, if it displease thee. Think about that. The angel said, your way is perverse before me. That's why the God of heaven has sent me unto you. And your eyes saw me, but you did not see me. Why did you beat your ass these three times? Your way is not right, perverse before me. And then he said, I have sinned. And now he said, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. I will go back. If it displease thee, you can tell, you can tell. Now, what are you saying is not right? But he knows. What are you saying is not good, not appropriate? But he knows. Okay, I have sinned. And if it displease you, then tell me, I'll go back. That's an insincere confession. That's a pretense of penitence. We're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 15. I'm reading from verse 24. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. You know, this is what they're always saying. How correct, how sincere, how deep-rooted in the heart is this. Saul said, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. He knew. He said, Samuel, rest assured, I realize, I see, I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy word. So I knew you came from the Lord. I knew God gave you the word and you spoke to me. I transgress the commandment of the Lord and I transgress your words because I feared the people. Oh, that's the Genesis, that's the root, that's the origin. When you fear the people and you don't fear God. When you want to do your will, you don't do the will of God. And you feared the people. Saul, what a great mistake. The people did not appoint you. Saul, the people did not anoint you. Saul, the people did not assign you. Were you fearing them? I feared the people and obeyed their voice. But you know, he said, I have seen, but not sincere. You don't want to pretend penitence. Pretend that you are repenting. When you repent, you really repent. You genuinely repent from the depth of your heart. Look at verse 30. Verse 30, here is Saul again. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now. I have sinned, I've disobeyed the honor you should have given me if I were holy, give it to me. The honor you would have given me if I were righteous, give it to me. Make your honor unconditional. Don't look at what I've done. Don't look at the sin I've committed. Don't look at the rebellion and the disobedience. Just give me the honor you should have given me if I were all right. That's not repentance. Looking for honor, looking for respect, looking for appreciation. While he knew he had disobeyed God, he had not feared God, he had feared the people more than he feared God. So he said, then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now. I pray thee before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship my God. Is not your God Saul? When you disobey, when you rebel, when you turn away from the word of the Lord, agree with me, Samuel, and go on with me. So I'll worship my God. They make the religion or the worship of God cheap. All they want, honor, self-esteem, exaltation, appreciation. And yet, there is sin, they wrap up inside them. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 26. I'm reading from verse 21. 1 Samuel chapter 26, reading from verse 21. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Saul, this is the third time. When are we going to stop all this? When are we going to have righteousness? When are we going to have renewal? You said it to Samuel, I have sinned. You said it again, I have sinned. When you said that, I thought you meant you will not continue. But the man continued. And was chasing, pursuing after David. And David was showing love to him. He said, my Lord, my master, look at your side. And look at your clothes. And look, I've been there. And one of my people told me, strike him once. You're killing and your trouble will be over. But I said, no, I cannot touch my master. My Lord, the anointed of the Lord, send your servant there. Let him look and look at the piece of cloth I call, and look at the sword that I took. Come and take it. And then Saul said, David, is that your voice? My son, my son. Was pursuing a son to slay, to destroy a son. Then he said, I have sinned. Return my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thy eyes. This day, behold, I have played the fool. Look at that. I have sinned. I have played the fool, and I have erred exceedingly. Look at the confession. But the man didn't repent before he died. Instead of seeking God, he was seeking after the witch of Endor. Is that repentance? He had destroyed all the witches from the land before. And now, at the final battle, he was seeking after the witches. What he had vomited was swallowing up again. What he had destroyed, he was reaching after that again. What kind of repentance is that? I have sinned. If you confess, make it real. Matthew chapter 27. We're looking at verse 3. Matthew chapter 27, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed Christ, when he saw that Christ was condemned, he was condemned, he repented, he regretted. That's actually the meaning of the word. He had remorse. He regretted himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and to the elders. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, saying, tell me what you see in your Bible. Say it aloud. Say it uniform. Judas, of all people, Jesus warned him. Jesus did not leave him in ignorance. The one who betrays the Son of Man, it were better he were not born. The one who will betray the Son of Man, Jesus, the Savior, it were better if a millstone were hanged on his neck and he was dropped and drowned in the sea. Judas, the thing you are planning to do is going to be terrible. There is one of you here, Jesus said, that will betray me. And Judas was there. And John asked, I want to know, the heart of man is wicked. I want to know, is it I? And Jesus said, no. Peter asked, I don't think I can betray you, but this was said, is one of us here that will so backslide and sell his master and betray his master. Is it I? Jesus said no. And as everybody asked, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? And Jesus said no. Can you imagine Judas Iscariot? And he knew what he had planned with the enemies of Christ. And he said, is it I? You know, I don't know what Judas was thinking. Judas, do you think Jesus will be so much afraid of you and will not tell you in the public, thou art the man? And Jesus said, yes, you are. The one, I take this morsel of bread and I put it in his mouth. I love him. I want to be his friend and I want to feed him. But he wants to injure me, betray me. The one, I take this and put it in his mouth. He it is. And that happened, and he knew, and he went into the dark. And he went to the people to lay hand on Jesus, and he betrayed him. And eventually, he took Jesus, they crucified him, and now he came. My friend, is the person you offended, you should go to and apologize. If you really mean, you're sorry. But he didn't go to Jesus. He couldn't get at Jesus at that time. But he could have gone to Peter, to John. He could have gone to his colleagues and just lie straight, prostrate on the ground. I know that you are now the standing representatives of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have any face to stand up and look at you. I've done the undoable. I've gone in a way I shouldn't have gone. Would you please? I heard when Jesus said, whose sin you forgive shall be forgiven, whose sin you retain shall be retained. And you are still standing in that privilege. Please, on behalf of Christ, can you forgive me? No, you went to the Pharisees, and he said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? We got what we wanted to get, and we paid you for it. We arrested Jesus, you betrayed him to us, we crucified him. And that's what we wanted. We've done what we want to do with your help, with your betrayal, and all that you are saying. Now, what is that to us? See thou to that. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went, and hanged himself. Now, if he had peace of mind, those who have peace of mind don't commit suicide. If he had justification by faith, and now we're justified and we have peace with God, he would not have committed suicide. He didn't have peace. He didn't have assurance. He didn't have a settled mind that I have sinned at him. Salvation, because I have sinned, I have sinned, I have sinned, I have sinned, I have sinned. If it's not coming from the heart, if it is not born out of genuine repentance, does not bring salvation. Let's come back to Pharaoh. We're looking at Exodus chapter 9, and we're reading from verse 33. Remember? The man that said, I have sinned. Let's look at what happened now. Exodus chapter 9, verse 33. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the thunders and the hail ceased, stopped, and the rain also was not poured upon the earth. Look at verse 34. In verse 34, and when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet the more. Actually, what he was regretting was the pain. And because of the pain, that's why he said, I have sinned. Now that the plague is removed, the pain is removed, he said, okay, they removed the pain. I go back to my normal self. And he sinned yet the more. You know, people, I've sinned. I repent, I'll do that no more. Because of the pressure, the pain, the punishment, the consequence of the sin they have committed. That's what they say, I have sinned. But there's no genuine repentance. And when Pharaoh saw that all those things were over, he sinned yet the more and hardened his heart. And he and his servants, not only the prince but the people, they hardened themselves to continue doing evil, thinking the plague is over, the consequence is over. Look at verse 35. In verse 35, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. I pray your repentance will not be pretending repentance in Jesus' name. Amen. You will honor God. You'll believe God. You will know that your life and your destiny, your eternity, they are the hands of the living God. And you will know that God can see through the heart. Even if you go to live in darkness, he sees you there. If you go to the depths of the earth, he sees you there. You cannot deceive him. And you cannot say, I repent, when you know in your heart the repentance is a pretended, a critical repentance. No. No pretense of penitence of the insincere. You say to the Lord, I quit sin. That's the end of sin. I don't continue in sin. That's the end of sin. I will not continue in violence. That's the end of violence. I will not continue in disobedience. That's the end of disobedience. But if you confess and you don't forsake, I've sinned, and you don't turn to the Savior and be really saved, there's no value in that kind of hypocritical pretending repentance. You come to the Lord and you seek him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and everything. You open your mouth to say to the Lord, you actually fulfill, I have opened my mouth to the Lord and I cannot go back. We're going to pray now, sincere prayer. We're going to pray. You're not going to disturb the person by your side doing whatever to stop them from praying and to hinder them from thinking through. Lord, what I see, teach thou me. And he has taught us. And if I have done iniquity, I will do no more. Let your repentance be genuine, sincere, and wholehearted. It will forgive, it'll change your life, it'll turn your life around. And you'll be in Christ. If any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, any person be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer. Rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. Come, not only with your mouth, come with your heart. Come, not only with the regular pretending repentance we had in the past. Come with your heart and from the depth of your heart. See what God requires. Repent of all sin. Call upon the Lord, and he will forgive. Not only forgive, he'll set you free. And he'll say, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more.
Brethren, this is the essence of